opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled and factual episode of Effed Up Farming. I'm your host, Tyler Martin, and with me tonight in the crow's nest is my co-host, Royce O'Neill.
Hello, everybody. How you doing tonight, Tyler Martin?
I'm doing real good. Real, real good.
So, the reason you got that voice?
Just trying something new.
Ah.
I take it you didn't care for it.
I didn't hate it. It wasn't the worst thing I've heard you do on a mic.
Okay. You know, last week I was real high intensity. This week I went real low intensity.
I think the last 2 weeks you've been fairly low intensity.
No, last week I was very high intensity.
Or do you just keep whiplashing me back and forth and I can't remember
what it was? Last week I was very high intensity.
Okay.
Get your shit together, bud.
One of these days.
Figure it out.
One of these days.
You ready, Royce?
I am ready to rock.
Good, because you're going.
I'm going where?
I take it you haven't watched Shorzy yet.
I have not.
Fucking great.
I didn't know it had come out yet.
I think it came out today.
Okay.
I woke up at like 3 o'clock this morning and I watched a bunch of it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a listen. Or give that a watch.
A watch. Great deal. Great deal. But anyway, I would like to say a few words.
Okay.
At the beginning of this podcast.
Let's go for it.
First off, I would like to thank our great sponsor, Meat Club Lambs, Gageby, Texas. Great people, great sheep. If you need a sheep, let them know.
Best people and best lambs.
Track them down.
Gageby, Texas.
Also, we have Mo Enterprises.
For those of you that don't know already, that is Martin and O'Neill.
Sounds kind of bad if you spell it out. But anyway, yeah.
The Circle M brand.
And last and certainly least, we've got the Livestock Podcast with Curtis Reed.
Why are you putting him least?
Hepburn, Saskatchewan. Because he's from Canada.
You got a problem with Canada geese?
We can't put Canadians over native Texans.
Just the other day, you were ready to start a revolution with Canada.
Well, I still am.
A multinational revolution.
Well, I still am, but that's not important.
That's got to be a new one for me. A multinational revolution.
Look, if you are the least of the group of people that I just mentioned, you're still pretty fucking high above most of society. Maybe not most, but a good chunk.
When you put it that way, it sounds a lot better, bud.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, guys, we appreciate it. Thanks for the sponsorship.
Let's have a fucking drink.
Let's have a drink. What do you got for us tonight, Tyler?
Tonight, we have Yellowstone Select Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 46.5 alcohol by volume, 93 proof. Limestone Branch Distillery Company in Lebanon, Kentucky. This is a landmark edition, and it's Minerva Terrace.
What does that even mean?
It's got a picture of Minerva Terrace on it.
Okay. I got to looking at some the other day because somebody shared on a Facebook group we're in.
I saw that.
They all have different pictures on them.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, at our local liquor store there in White Deer, Texas, they had probably 6 bottles of that and at least 3 different pictures.
So you're saying that there's 2 other pictures up here somewhere?
Up here? No, I didn't buy them.
Oh, you kept those in the private stash.
No, I just... Look, because I was curious if it was a special, like if they, I don't know if they have a different.
I think they normally do.
Like brand or.
I think it's edition. random on the label maker.
I gotcha.
So it's very light in color. Very light. Getting oak on the nose.
She clings to the glass well. She doesn't want to run very much. I think she's a little thin.
Sure may be. It's got a little bit of sweet to it, and I'm getting a lot of oak.
I'm getting heavy oak. Like you said, a little sweet on the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something in there, else in there that I'm not quite smelling. Or that I'm smelling, but I'm not picking out. It's smooth. Well, that is.
It is smooth, and it's oaky.
Kind of like drinking just lightly sugared something.
It's almost kind of lemony.
It is very oak forward, but I'm getting your citrus. I don't know that it's lemon.
Just something kind of tart.
Yeah.
We'll go citrus.
Not overly sweet, but it is sweet.
And it has just a little bit of burn. Not a lot. Just a scotch. Maybe a little cinnamon?
Yeah, I'd buy your cinnamon. Yeah. Especially you put it on ice. It opens it up a little bit more.
Thinking it's citrusy and cinnamony.
It has a very nice mouthfeel after you put it on ice. Which it's not bad before, but it doesn't... It's kind of thin, like I said. It's
very thin. Very thin.
You put it on ice, it... coats the tongue a little bit better.
Not as good as I remember it being.
Still not bad.
It's not bad at all. Maybe it's just because we've had so many good bourbons.
It could be. I'm not picking up just a whole lot out of it other than oak. It's oak forward, but it's not overly oaked, if that makes sense to you.
I think it's not a strong oak flavor. I think there's just not a lot competing with the oak.
Yes. Yeah, I would give you that.
I think that's kind of what you were getting at there.
There's right? a sweet, but it's just kind of a sugar sweet because I'm not picking up anything else. Like, no, not it's a not caramel like
vanilla-y or...
And it may be because I've been eating dirt all day. I don't know.
I don't think so because I'm not picking up anything either.
I didn't know what you did today. So...
And I walked through a few fields, but... I also had fried rice for supper.
Well, that's good.
You know, Asian food's always good for bringing out your palate.
Usually helps. Lots of gingers and things like that.
I didn't put any ginger in my fried rice.
Maybe you should have.
I'm not big on ginger. So I'm going to go ahead and score that dude.
What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give that a 5.25.
I just can go a straight 5.
I almost did. But I think it's probably a slight better than your average.
It would. It may just be because I'm tired today, but.
Yeah. 5.
I was going with 5. Because that is, I remember that being just so awesome.
And that was one of the last things we ever tasted.
It was. You're right.
Before the vid.
Yeah. Before we got the COVID.
Yeah, because I think we drank that and then you went home.
Yeah, we were drinking the...
We were drinking scotch, but then Balvenie I had a bottle American. Of that. I'll let you taste it right before you left.
Yep. Yep, the things you get for helping somebody install a kid's Christmas
Just let
present.
It go, asshole.
Let it go.
Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
You've watched that more than me.
I probably know most of the words, but we're not going to get into that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so anyway, 5.25 Yellowstone. It's very reasonably priced. So I would definitely give it a shot. Maybe you like it more than us. Maybe you don't like it as much as us. I don't know what to tell you.
Either way, I mean, it's a decent whiskey. If you want to put another one under your belt, it's not overpriced. It's smooth. It's easy to drink. You're probably not going to pick a whole lot out of it, though.
Not very complex.
No. So, I mean, if you're just wanting to share a bottle with some friends and hang out.
And keep in mind, you know, A lot of people are like, well, you only gave it a 5. It must not be that good. Well, I mean, 5 is still average.
Oh, yeah.
So.
5 is definitely buy it again.
Yes. Yes. No doubt.
And there's probably some below a 5 that I would buy again. Maybe price point, something like that, but.
Hard to say. Hard to say. Well, alrighty then. Moving on.
Do you want to go ahead and kill the day, or you
want? I do want to kill the day.
Kill or not kill our guest. Let's not kill our guest. Let's
run, run.
Get out now!
Oh, you thought she was going to go from Oklahoma to New Mexico? Good luck with that, asshole.
Shouldn't have told me your travel agenda.
Fuck around.
All right. Well, let's kill the day then. You want to lead off? You want me to lead off?
Oh, go ahead. What you got?
I'm bringing to you Drayton Farley with Chewing on Fire.
Why would you chew on fire?
I don't know, but I think he explains it to you in the song.
There you go.
You like it?
It's very melancholy.
It is. It almost reminds you of a Jason Isbell song.
A little bit.
Might be why I like it.
Might be. Hard to say.
It is.
Maybe we'll never know.
Probably not.
I don't know. Hard to say.
It's dark, dark cave that my head goes to a lot of times. So.
No, you just think your head's fucking dark, bud. I'm about to show you what the fuck dark is.
Like how we one-up
so
each other.
So I'm going with Using Again by Benjamin Todd.
I'm hating my name cause I'm cursed like my kin. And if I should see you before I'm condemned, I hope you're deceived by the webs that I spin. I wish I was who I appeared, cause I despise the man in the mirror.
How's that for dark?
It does take a turn. It does take a turn. See what you're saying there.
How does it take a turn?
Oh, he's talking about, I guess maybe it doesn't take a turn. It just all dark. Doesn't like the man he sees in the mirror?
I mean, he starts off hating his name because he's cursed like his kin.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Good song, though.
It is. I like that.
Great song.
Something about just acoustic music that, especially those sad songs, just really hits you.
Yeah. Yeah. He does a good job.
Sounds like it. I'm going to have to look him up.
He's got a good voice, too.
He does. Yeah, he does.
So, yeah, the day's been killed.
The day is dead.
I quit.
Oh, we're just going in there. Not even going to bother calling our guest.
Fuck. We're not done. I always do that too early. Always do that too early. Okay. Okay. Let me see if I can get him on the horn. It would help if I didn't try to call my boss.
Yeah, that could be a guest.
Hello.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
What's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
So, just so you know, you're on the podcast already.
Okay.
We're recording.
Right. Sounds good.
So don't incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wanna start off by telling everybody who you are, just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Again, I'll try not to incriminate myself too much, at least. Just enough for good entertainment. I'm actually, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm a Californian. Came out to Oklahoma State, finished school there, and yeah, America's Brightest Orange, runs deep.
Princeton of the Plains.
No, went there for a couple years, met my wife, went off to work for a company that buys grain out of Tulsa. I don't think you guys are mostly panhandle guys anyway, so I think I can say it, CGB. They have a presence around, Perryton kind of area. They have Waka. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that elevator.
I am familiar with that elevator.
Yeah. Mainly, they focus on Western Oklahoma.
Don't they have locations in like Waka and Shattuck and?
Yeah, Waka, Shattuck. I mean, all up and down. They have like 50 locations up and down Western Oklahoma.
Oh wow.
But yeah. No, they bought a company called WB Johnson's a few years back and expanded pretty quick. A lot of wheat acres, mainly wheat, some soybeans, quite a bit of soybeans. Not much corn. A fair amount of Milo too, but they have a couple rail shippers. One in Shattuck and. The other one in Enid, where I'm at now, but not with that company. And then they have a barge loader in Tulsa, and they ship grain down to the Texas Gulf and put it on barges and send it out there. Well, anyway, I worked there for a little bit, and then I started work for Gavilon, made my way out to Amarillo area, and that's where Royce and I met, I guess.
That's how he got involved with this shady operation.
Yeah, got roped into this podcast.
Man, this is really fitting because we both picked really sad songs, and your life is just full of woes.
Yeah. And I was listening. I mean, I had a long drive today. I'll explain it here a little bit later, but I kind of bluffed Royce. I'm actually already in New Mexico.
Early start.
Yeah, I actually got off work real early and was like, we're going to go work cows tomorrow at Trenton Jones's place in Broadview. Trenton used to also buy grain from Royce and his dad.
Did you say in Frogview?
Broadview.
Broadview. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, over by Grady.
Right. Okay. No, I thought you said Frogview, and I was like, I don't know where that is.
No, out in the dry land windmill country. So,
hell, you should have called. You could have stopped and worked cattle with me on your way.
Shit, I'm not that cheap of a date. You're getting a podcast out of me. It's going to be 97 and about 40 mile an hour winds tomorrow. So, but I felt it unfair. You guys do booze reviews and shit. I think, I don't know if you guys have already done yours, but. I was going to be sober if I didn't leave early. So, I just got out of the half top, got to the barn. They're bringing cows over right now, but I got a nice Michelob Ultra, you know, the drink of the West, I guess.
But, why don't you just drink water?
Yeah. You got to stay hydrated when it's 97. So
that is true. I mean, that's, you're hydrating with Mick Ultra.
Yeah. Trying to. I got to keep up. These guys are already way ahead of me. So, but anyway, yeah. Go back to my story, I guess. I worked for Gavilon for about 4 years and just recently got a job here in Enid, Oklahoma, middle of Oklahoma, working for a hog feeder. We have about 40,000 sows. I know you guys are cattle guys typically, but 40,000 sows is quite a bit of pigs.
It sounds like a high number.
Yeah. So we ship our piglets up to like Iowa and Illinois and feed them out, finish them out there. We're part of a like conglomerate of several growers called Triumph Foods. So I think we sit right around like the 10th largest in the U.S. So we're not quite like a Seaboard, but comparable, I guess.
Well, hey,
do you have a number anybody at Seaboard we could call? I mean, we only want the best here at F-Tub Farming.
Okay. Yeah. I can't do that for you. I don't have one. You guys could probably find one through the grain side a lot easier than I could. But anyway, like I buy all the grain for all our piglets up in Iowa too. And North Carolina, we have like an organic farm, you know, they have organic chickens in the area and we're like, well, we can feed that too. So we have an organic brand or whatever, but
okay.
You know, find the market.
That's so, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually am closing on my new house Tuesday. So I get to move to, I'll be out of Fairview, Oklahoma, right off of 412. But yeah, that's up to date for me right now.
Cool deal.
What cool. else? Yeah. What else you guys want to know?
Okay. So here's,
I got a wife. Yeah. She trains horses on the side, trains barrel horses, or not on the side, full throttle.
You so, trying to plug her business?
Yeah,
because you should probably mention it if you were going to.
SCU Performance Horses. She's got a website, Facebook. Yeah, if you need something, she doesn't break horses. My medical insurance isn't that good.
She just trains them to be crazy after they've got a decent head on.
Exactly. She does do tune-ups too. She's got a couple ranch horses in too, unfortunately, more coming. That's why she's not with me on this trip. So, but. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. So, what do you guys got for me? What? Any questions? Deep dirt. Farmers. Now that I'm not a grain merchandiser, I guess.
Have you got any of those stories?
Well,
because that sure takes some.
You're still.
Oh, I have
buying grain, aren't you?
I have plenty. I am, but it's a lot different. It's more localized to the Enid and some Wichita draw territory. It's hard to pull a truck from like Texas Panhandle all the way, especially with fuel prices. I don't think I need to.
Yeah, well, I didn't know
what fuel prices are.
As many as y'all were feeding, if y'all were getting transports or dealing with people that were getting transports, or what was going on there.
So no, mostly it's I buy delivered, and most of the stuff's okay. Really local. Really local. I mean, within like sub 20 miles, you know. Local, but Comark Equity is one of our main suppliers. I'm not plugging them, but they have a presence out in the Texas Panhandle also.
So I've
Pringle and Morris. And
first question I've got for you is,
yeah.
How different was it going from being a buyer of grain to where you're buying it from a farmer and then turning around and mm-hmm. selling it? I don't know how much of the selling for the elevator you did. But you're,
a ton.
but you were going yeah. both ways on that deal and kind
Correct.
Of being the middleman to now you're an end user of
yes.
the
yes.
products.
No, crazy different. You're treated way different. Not necessarily from the producer side, but I would say definitely from the people I'm buying from. Get on their hands and knees for you. without getting further, I mean, it's like taking out to lunch every day. Like it's different. But I don't know. I really love dealing with farmers. I mean, I don't know how much you guys talk about Terry, but Terry's my homie. I don't really get to do that anymore. So that's a little different for me. I lose some of the interaction. It's more of a business transaction, I guess.
So you're buying mostly from elevators.
They got you by the ball. Yeah, they got you by the balls because I have to feed pigs every day. So
yeah.
They know they're going to get the sale. Like, so they might as well be nice. It's kind of how it goes. I don't know where, like, it's way more of a competitive market out here, that you guys are surrounded by down in Hereford and stuff like that. It's I don't want to say it's more cutthroat cause they're great people, but it's cutthroat and you're fighting for pennies and stuff like that, where it's a little more relaxed, where we feed pigs, I guess.
Okay.
It's like just, it's way more of a business transaction than, like the wheeling and dealing, you know, trying to put deals together, I guess, down here. But, yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. I enjoy being closer to Oklahoma as much as I loved living in Canyon. I really like seeing green grass when I look outside. So
sacrilege.
Not to jab you guys. Not to
I see green
guys,
grass every like, day as I walk by my front yard. Huh? All right.
Me too.
It looks like hammered dog shit out here, guys.
You know, when I drive out of my garage, that may be the only green grass I see during the day. But by God, I see
some
of it.
Is that 'cause you ran over a sprinkler head last weekend or what?
No, I have sprinklers in my yard. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm civilized.
I mean, when you mowed it. I mean, do you got a puddle there? Is that why it's greened up?
Damn.
Man.
Damn, he does not appreciate desert for coming from California.
but I did get one of the only mountain views in Oklahoma. I did enjoy the camp. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Gloss Mountains State Park. I get some nice plateaus. I really like Canadian, Texas area.
That is a pretty part of the world.
Too many
it's
trees.
Similar. Where I'm at is similar. Yeah, I really don't have many trees where my house is at, but.
Well, at least you got that going for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the panhandle had a little bit of influence on you.
Yes.
Start getting a little choked up, a little claustrophobic, a little clammy hands.
Who's coming for me? I bet he's a grain buyer, Tyler.
Coming home.
I get
it. Oh, yeah.
I get it.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's one of the major differences. I don't know. I really do miss talking to some farmers, quote-unquote. Yeah.
Well, speaking of farmers, let's get into some of the harder subjects. Yeah. So the grain markets have really taken a huge swing this year.
Yeah, you can say that.
And how high are they going to go?
Yeah, I need an actual forecast from you and what you think is going to happen.
And we would like it to be plus or minus 5% accuracy.
And guaranteed.
Okay. So I got to ask first, did you have one of the cute little girls say the disclosure?
Every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. That's pre-recorded.
Okay. Yeah. I had to make sure. I had to make sure because I will be wrong.
oh, so you're saying it's going to go down?
No.
Just like a weather forecast.
Yeah. I'd like to be a meteorologist where you just expect me to be wrong, and every once in a while when I'm right, you're like, huh, you don't even remember that I was right. But when I'm wrong, you'll remember that.
Well, I mean, even meteorologists have to be right about, you know, wind and heat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you should at least be right about, let's say, corn and wheat.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll give you a pass on soybeans. Say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. I do, honestly. So I did a little bit of soybean stuff when I was at CGB. Not much. Did nothing when I was in Texas for 4 years. I don't want to do it again. So I don't really deal much in soybeans, mainly just wheat, corn, and milo. Probably more that you guys care about, I guess. So if I were to just start with the least interesting in my eyes, it's milo. Is China going to step in? Are we going to sanction against China? I don't know. Right now, it shouldn't be worth much. I think there's a lot out here, but no market for it. I think it's just sitting in elevators. But so I would say that one's probably the most stable to what you're seeing it at. I think like ethanol plants are in like the 60 over delivered market to the farmer, probably in like the, I don't know, 20, depending where you're at on freight.
So 60 over delivered. That's on the corn price.
Yes. Yeah. Off the corn board. Yeah. Milo always off the corn board.
Which is pretty good.
And I only pretty talk in bushels. I don't talk in pounds on Milo.
Yeah.
No. If you're talking like 5-10 year averages, it's great. It makes money. Plain and simple. But I mean, fuel's going to.
Well, I got some farmers that are going to argue that fucking point.
I don't know, 60 over on a Milo contract is not bad. It's better than 50 to $1.50 under.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there are times when a China steps in and you can get 200 over, 300 over. I don't know.
I was going to say, what happens if China completely steps out? They're not out right now, are they?
I wouldn't say they're in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard of a Chinese Milo bid for the U.S. in over 6 months.
See, I hadn't kept track of that because we don't grow a whole lot of conventional Milo, so
yeah. There was about a year and a half period, not too long ago. I would say like almost a year ago that it was hot. It was worth a lot, but now it's just stable. It's just relative value to corn. And corn price is super high.
Which is the one thing helping.
Yeah. That's really the only thing keeping it worth anything in my eyes. But and I guess I feed a bunch of Milo to my sows at Enid, but you have less toxin risk. Oklahoma doesn't grow the best corn. I mean, everybody kind of knows that. They shouldn't really grow corn. They just have, you know, and pigs are really intolerant to a lot of toxins like fumonisin and aflatoxin and stuff really? Like that. Yeah. Oh, they're so cattle. I mean, in the tier of like least affected, you go like a feeder steer, and then you go to like a dairy cow, and then a pig, and then a chicken. And, you know, it just kind of trickles up. The further up you go, basically, you know, the quicker an animal lives.
Yeah.
then go by that. And then the milk thing, lactating dairy cows and sows, also, you're on a higher level just because it goes through the milk really quick.
Yeah. But, that one I could see having a high.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
problem
like.
With it.
Yeah. And then, so anyway, like corn price is really high right now. And I think the later in the summer we get, it's going to be, if you're talking corn futures, if I was a future speculator and knew where it was really going, I probably wouldn't be in Broadview, New Mexico. I'd be in like Puerto Vallarta on a beach. So, man, I think it could hover around this like 750. You know, the front month is going to keep working. The deferred months are going to keep working up to that front month level at like a 750 range. It seems to like that
okay.
right now. Basis wise, I think later this summer is going to get stupid hot, but obviously nobody, unless you have corn in the bin. I was going to talk about that a little bit too. I'm a big proponent of binning or bagging commodities, especially out in West Texas where it doesn't rain that much. You're not susceptible to a lot of bad things, and bags make money. And I think, you know, how many guys wish they had old crop wheat right now in a bag
or a bin? Well, that's no joke.
In their backyard. So, you know, maybe it doesn't work out like every year, but 2 times out of 10, it seems here lately, man, you could have made some serious money. And I think that isn't as exploited in, especially your guys' neck of the woods. Tyler, I don't know where you live.
In White Deer.
Where Royce lives.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, how many guys have bins and bags out there?
Here, I would say probably 10%? 5%?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say you're probably right there. There's...
No, you go further north because, you know, I work basically from like Dalhart, Stratford, all mm-hmm. the way down here. You get up
there's
there and there's a lot of bags.
There's some old ones around Dalhart, but there is also, a dairy market that's exploding over there, and half the corn crop's not going to go in a bin anyway.
I think half might be conservative.
Exactly. The guy up there that's doing it right, I mean, everybody knows him. So, I mean, he's buying every acre, every chopper that comes on the lot in Dalhart.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
No introduction there, but, I mean,
he's one of your countrymen.
I can't really talk too much shit. I know. I was just going to say that. I can't talk too much shit.
Aren't they all?
I'm actually a Portuguese. I think he's Portuguese, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I was thinking Californian.
That's where I was going with that, too.
He is a Californian also.
That's where I was going. Most dairymen.
I always get to Adam Escobar, are you like Cuban or Mexican? And, you know, I'm Portuguese. And
okay.
So is he. But, yeah, no, it's a great success story. I don't think there's anything, like a lot of people claim nefarious things with him, and I don't know that it's there. I think people speculate a lot, but
look, you get to having that much property and people are going to start talking shit.
Oh yeah. It's going to happen either way.
I mean, but people don't understand how much the land that he owned in California was worth when he sold it.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that's hard for people to actually realize is,
Motherfucker, man, made just a shit ton in California and got the hell out of Dodge like I did. So, you know, I just haven't made as much as him.
I think you've kind of squandered your jump out of California.
Yeah, oh, man, I took that and ran. I will not be back. I can guarantee you guys that. I mean, I go on vacation. I just went fishing out there. It's a cool vacation. I mean, all my family lives out there, but shit, okay. I don't look back.
What part of California?
It's actually a terrible part. I don't know if you're familiar with the San Jose Bay Area, like tech capital of the world, but south of there, about an hour, in the garlic capital of the world.
Okay.
yeah. Grew up on a small cow calf. My grandpa ran okay. that my whole life. And yeah, no. My parents are both retired now. They're campers. They have a nice RV that travel around and go camping every weekend they can. So
nice.
But brother and sister still live out there too. But
so anyway, back yeah. to bags and bins.
Yeah.
We've covered
yeah,
where it's underused.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Man, I just think like, yeah, there's maybe 4 or 5 years there in a row that are like, shit, man, that wasn't worth it. That was a lot of work, a lot of money. But man, those the times like this year when it is, holy shit, would it be, right?
Yeah.
But
how often does a year like this come around?
Okay, you want to talk historicals? There's been a lot of history here recently. And that's something that, like, when I was at both jobs, really, everybody's like, well, historically, you know, you have a 2008, 2009, then you have a 2012 area, too, and then you have here recently a 2019 that really would have, and then you have it again this year, and I think it's going to, then you have a, like, Ukraine issue. I just listened to you guys' podcast on the John Deere combine getting stole in Ukraine. I listened to about 5 episodes, by the way, on my way from Oklahoma to New Mexico. So I knew what I was freshly getting into and what was up to date because it had been a minute since I listened, but I thought that was hilarious. I mean, hell yeah. Now, I just wish they drone struck him or something like that. That'd be like the only better thing that would have been funny, you know, to add on to it. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no reason to tear up those combines. I can't use them. Let the war get over.
Yeah.
Let people go back and get the combine.
They got accuracy. Yeah. Just take out the guy. Leave the combines alone.
That is no joke.
Yeah. 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 True. Put a perimeter around it. Yeah. They can do that. That's easy. But, I always laughed about that too. Not laughed. I mean, it's not really that funny, but so say you're a Ukrainian wheat farmer. Battle drums are coming over the hill. Like the Huns are moving in on your bin. You got it 3/4 full of wheat. And, what are you going to do? You got a couple options.
What so lay out the options for me. I think you're
a multiple choice. I know which one I'm picking.
This is new country for me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Door and the next guy, I'm booby trapping the door and the next guy that opens it, that whole thing's going down.
Yeah, but
I may leave a leg running, like just so I have some suspended dust. But
okay, so the way you phrased that, I thought the battle drones were coming for the grain bins.
No, I'm saying like Russian soldiers coming over your hill and you have this grain, you know, bin full of grain behind you.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with just you. You booby trapped the shit out of that.
I mean, I don't know how well armed the Ukrainian people are.
And then you take your family and go, right? Yeah. But, I mean, there's a couple different options. I mean, some ride them out. It's crazy. So I'm thinking about that guy. And then you're like, okay. I'm in the United States now. You have no storage. You have no wallet if something really bad happens, unless you got grain behind you. I mean, that's a cool thing to have. It's money in the bank when it doubles. But I don't know. I'm just a massive proponent of it. I think it makes nothing but sense out here because you have feed yards now desperate for corn because you have a world shortage.
Yeah.
And you have the opportunity to capitalize. If you have been.
Fair enough.
But if you don't, I mean, then you sell it to the slimy old grain merchandiser there local who does and let him try to, you know, fill in the pieces, and hopefully he didn't make a mistake. Sell it early also.
Now you're making me wonder why I called you.
Yep. Yeah, you know, so then you just want, you want to know, is that guy doing so good? And the answer is really no. I mean, maybe yes, but they're struggling just as much as everyone else, I think, just as much as the feed yard would be in a time like this. But, I mean, railways, I mean, feed yards here are dependent on rail corn
right. Anyway.
So this late in the summer, they're just plainly dependent on it. So if you could store corn into the historical time period where it's always worth more money, you'll get paid more on average.
Yeah.
Simple as that. That's my view of it. If I was the West Texas farmer with decent water and stuff like that and knew that I was going to produce a crop back to back to back, you know, every year, at least something, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Unless you want to be one of those West Texas CRP farmers, Tyler, I stand with you, by the way.
Exactly.
I've listened to a couple of your podcasts.
Boy, I thought that one was fixing to take a turn for the worse.
Me too.
No. And there is recent news. I kind of want to talk about that too. I don't know. Have you guys heard about the CRP program? They came out with some news a while back where farmers wanted some forgiveness on getting out of it for a year.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that.
Just here recently, yeah. And now here just recently, they actually said they're going to do it. Now, I have heard some limitations on it that may not have been, like, fully exposed. It is only going to be winter-sowed crops. So they're basically going to try to get more wheat out of it from marginal to non-farmable ground, you know, if possible. And I believe if it's not limited by county, it will probably be limited by the guys that have 1 year left in the program. And I don't think they're going to get, I think it's going to be a more of, we're just not going to give you this payment, this last payment, then
yeah,
it is going to be either you got to pay to get out or anything like that. And you guys, I agree, Tyler, you've said it, like, this half the shit is in CRP for a reason. It shouldn't be farmed. A quote that's been said here a lot in my industry is high prices cure high prices. So the longer, yeah, as me being a buyer, high prices cure high prices. So eventually, you know, they do something like this and wheat market and probably the corn market with it will get some kind of pullback.
So here's a question for you.
What happens if we have a really wet winter and this wheat just comes on and all these guys broke out CRP?
What will we ever do with those extra hundreds of pounds of wheat that they got off this fucking bullshit CRP ground that they broke
out?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask the same thing.
Exactly. But there's a lot of what ifs. I mean, there's a ton of what ifs.
But the people that factor in the yield aren't going to factor in the number of CRP acres in there. Yeah. They're just going to.
But if some of them can pull a 15 bushel wheat crop off a shit ton of acres, that could equal bushels.
Shouldn't take shots at Royce like that.
Hey.
Fuck you.
he's a bi-county champion. I wouldn't kick him in the nuts like that. He just, shouldn't you wear a crown back from New Orleans?
Yeah. Bi-county?
No. Yeah. Isn't that what you guys said? It's a bi-county, right?
Yeah. No, because, yeah, we were first. No, we were state champion in two categories.
Oh, okay.
And then we made it in the national, like, fourth place in the overall wheat yield contest. So,
gotcha.
But I mean, one was in Carson County, one was in Gray County. So statewide, yeah, we are by county.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't really, I got sidetracked on that. But anyway,
we noticed.
Hey, man, it happens to us all the time. We just normally roll with it.
I don't know. I think I could see the wheat market pull way back, though, I think.
Really? But this year, you don't think it will, though,
right?
Think
about the Dakotas and the acres up there. You think around here the CRP ground is trash. Well, that's locally. we're not the only wheat producers in the world, so, or in the United States, I mean. So think about if some of that ground. I don't know what it looks like. I haven't been up there. Is there CRP that is good farm ground?
Everywhere, I think you've got some farmable ground in CRP. But for the most part, anything that's left in CRP is there for a reason.
Yeah, okay. I don't know enough about that program personally to speak for, but you said everywhere and there's a lot of
Everywhere. And the other deal on that is that's just our government's response trying to help fight world hunger because of the Ukraine deal, and I don't know that it's the proper response.
Countries. No, I don't think so. If I was a farmer, I don't think so. As me, I don't really feed wheat. Pigs don't really eat a whole lot of wheat. I have wheat products in my feed, but so I could really, frankly, give a shit whether. But I think it will force the price down. I don't think it can stay stable at $10, not for over a year.
Oh, I don't think so. Unless the Ukraine deal continues on, maybe?
So I would think between the Ukraine deal and then I read a deal about how far behind all the spring wheat crop is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the least amount of acres planted fucking ever at this point in the year.
From what I've understood, in the U.S., like the wheat crop is the worst probably that it's ever been.
It's in like the top
across the board.
I think it's in the top three or something like that. The top three in the past. I don't know how many. I forgot what the stat was. It was like top three worst years in I don't know how many freaking years.
Which I know our production has been climbing because my wife used to work in wheat. So every year since she started working in wheat on a
it's gotten better.
Yeah, the production
wheat
has gotten better
every year.
But the acres have gone down. So we're probably at a historical low on number of acres planted.
Okay.
And this
I can believe that.
This is probably one of the worst years across the board for anybody who's planted wheat.
And to top it off, we had a year like 2019. We're here in an area where a lot of wheat is stored for a lot amount of years. We fed it all to cattle because corn price was so freaking through the roof a couple years ago that there is no wheat stocks in West Texas like the 30 million bushels that typically is there.
Yeah. No, so, it could drain.
Or plus. 30 million was probably extremely light, but this place can hold a shit ton, and it doesn't have it right now. So that's the one thing that I got to say is it can support at least basis, if not more than that.
No, the supply isn't going to be there. I just don't know where the demand is.
Yeah,
on it.
I mean, it's got to be globally, and the goddamn railroad, if they could ever figure their shit out, it'd probably be a little bit easier to feed those people locally. Globally.
Yeah.
Globally. I don't know if you guys have talked much on that. But shit. I mean, they have done a terrible job here in recent, I mean, ever since beginning of COVID or whatever you want to call that bullshit.
No, we have not talked about the rail issue. We hadn't had anybody on here that knew anything about rail transport.
And they've been suffering big time. They try to change their vacation policy to kind of like depopulize their staff, I think, and made it terrible. Where like a guy that normally can stack up vacation and all that would have to buy his vacation with like a point system. And so all these old timers that have great benefits, you know, great retirement with both major railways, Union Pacific and BNSF, you have that. And then all these guys just say, fuck you, I'm going to retire. That's what I would do, right?
Yeah.
That's what anybody would do.
And no doubt.
That's what they did. And then nobody was fucking working because they had all these stupid ass payments, you know, these grunts weren't going in and, you know, oh, I want to be a rail conductor. Nobody was fucking doing that when they're getting paid, you know, by with not having to work at all. So, they were extremely understaffed, and then you just had bottlenecks of where ships can get sent out of because it's, you know, war times and stupid shit like that. And it just compiled on itself, and the railway hasn't caught up yet. I don't know. I'll rant on that for years.
You know, we use the rail a lot in my business on the fertilizer side. I deal more with like a localized type rail. So like they've got their shit together. But, you know, for years it's been to where, well, you've got 8 cars of 32-00 coming in. All right, cool. When it comes in. What do you mean when it comes in? It'll get there when it gets there.
So it's worse than the cable company. You know, you got to be here between 9 and midnight.
All of October.
On a Wednesday. I was going to say every third Wednesday of the next 3 months.
You work on their hours, and their hours are their hours, you know. It's like completely, you know, you're subject to the railway every day. You know, you're not going to unload this train at 3 a.m. when it's freaking 10 degrees outside. Hell yeah, you are, because it's here. But now they just don't have the staff, and they're getting bottled up at ports. I mean, they're having a staffing issue more than anybody also, because, again, who wants to work at a port? You know, and so they're not unloading shuttles quick, and they're not – sorry, guys.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Sorry.
Cow are you actually working cattle? What are you talking
about? We're working
to
cows right now, boys. Yeah, they just made it back to the barn.
Oh. Okay.
So,
Fair enough. Well, if you need to go work cattle, you can go work cattle.
No, I'm good, guys. We're good. I'm on the sideline.
Oh, you're one of those guys like Royce. Work a lot of cattle.
Yeah.
Sit over there, talk on the phone, drink beer.
Yeah.
What the
fuck? I'm not on a horse.
I feel like that was a direct attack on me that was unfounded, you son of a bitch.
That was unnecessary roughness, but no.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah. I just got done driving 6 goddamn hours. I don't need to work no goddamn cows yet. I'm doing that tomorrow. So
There you go.
Yeah. I'll drink my beer. They expect it. They knew what I was doing, so they're okay with it. They're all laughing at me, so but yeah.
So anyway, the rail sucks. Trucks aren't much better. Port's a bitch.
Yeah, rail sucks. Yeah, trucks really suck.
You say that we are in the greatest transportation crisis of our time?
I would agree. As much as I would remember. I mean, I do remember a couple times in California when I was like real little that gas.
You
got
can't
to like
fucking count California.
California is its own nation.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but you guys said, is it the, I don't know. I remember we had an old like 89 Suburban, and we sold that bitch because gas got to be $9. You know, but that was when I was real young. So it is what it is, but I think trucks are thin. Nobody wants to be a trucker. I don't want to be a fucking trucker. And you know, that's a hate relationship. I don't know if you guys can attest much to that, but
so I can tell you going to attest to that because we sponsor a go-kart that is owned by a trucking company.
Okay. That a plug? What
probably
racing group is this?
To do what?
I said what racing company is it? Are we going to plug them? Number 8.
I think he might be number 8, but he hauled into y'all last year before you quit. You know who it is.
No, I mean there's good ones and bad ones, but I think the world is full of some very shitty ones, especially right now.
You know, we used to have a saying day that if that guy could be doing literally anything else, he would be. There is a reason he is in that truck.
Yeah.
But then you got others.
But some of them. Yeah, there's others that you're like, shit, if this guy wasn't doing it and he was putting this much time into something else, he'd be a fucking millionaire. But he likes being behind a truck. And I'm like, ugh, you know? But, and then there's others that are just pile of shit. I don't know. You know? And right now with this transportation issue, you're out of subject to that, and those guys aren't making dick because
which compounds it.
Diesel prices, yeah.
Fuck,
yeah,
they are.
Not happy.
I know how much I was paying last year for fertilizer to get hauled, and I know what I'm paying this year. And diesel ain't gone up that much.
Fertilizer is a different market, also. And I think a lot of those guys do, especially liquid fertilizer, those guys do pretty damn well. I know that.
Yes.
The dry guys,
probably not as well, because you end up with a lot of the same guys that haul grain or the same guys that haul dry.
Yeah. 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 And rock and sand and
yeah,
other shit like that. But the more specialized your trailer is, I think, the more money you make, I guess, simply put.
I am going to say this. The guys we got to haul our grain last year were top notch.
He knows we're not fucking talking about him, Royce.
I just want to make sure.
Just get off.
Hey.
Because I want him to haul. He is a listener. And I want him
to haul. Just plug his ass already so people can call him, and then he'll never work for you again.
Well, I don't know that I want to do that either.
He did a damn good job. Hey, I had one of my guys out there, too. I mean, he may not have been as good as your guy, and I know he's not listening, so I can say that. But, yeah, if he's listening, oh, fuck. Hopefully you're not plugging him this year at the grain cart and say, hey, have you listened to my podcast yet? And he's going to go back to this and be like, pinche fucking bato.
Yeah, no, it's the other one.
Yeah.
It's all the squabbling amongst your guys that gets to be a problem.
It doesn't help.
Oh, God, dude. You don't need
the fucking romper room that you're running over there with your truck drivers.
Hey, I'm out of that business. I buy delivered now, son. They told me I don't have to buy. They told me that I don't have to run a truck. I ain't running a fucking truck. That's all I got to say. So I buy my grain all delivered, just as you guys sell most of your grain delivered now.
Well, that's good.
And it's worked out better for you guys, I think. I'm glad that we got to that point where we could do that program. You guys,
no, it has helped us out a lot, where we could hire our own trucks. Yeah. And we could get guys we could depend on, because,
yeah,
I mean, just the way it was before wasn't working. But
oh, God. Yeah, no. And I think, you know, some guys go one path. Some farmers go one path, and they buy trucks themselves, right? And they think that's going to be, like, the solve to that problem. Well, they don't want to run it like the guy that you had and the guys that want to run trucks the right way. And the thing sits for 3/4 of a year, and it's a loss of money in my eyes. But when you figure it out like you guys did and don't have to own them three quarters of the year, that guy can make money, do much more money doing other things that 3/4 of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in y'all's yard, you know? And when you got someone that can make money, the rest of the year, I think he's happier during that part of the year when he's helping y'all and does a better job. Cause that's kind of like, I don't want to say it's vacation for him, but he's home every night or close to it. I don't know where he lives personally, but he's a lot more localized those times of year.
Some of them were. Some of them were just on a harvest deal, and they were.
Yeah.
They were knowing
over
we
the
were.
Road, yeah.
We were just laying out truckloads. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I will say, like, because I deal with a lot of farmers, different sizes, and mm-hmm. it seems like the very small farmers and the very large farmers mm-hmm. are the ones who best benefit from having their own trucks. Because the very small guy, you know, maybe he's only cutting a truckload every day or so or whatever. And then you get the bigger guys, maybe they're hauling 10 truckloads to the elevator every day. And then they can use those trailers the rest of the year, you know, hauling fertilizer or they'll buy a liquid tank or whatever.
Or if you're big enough, you've got bins.
I'm gonna circle back on you. Exactly. I was just going to say, I'm going to circle back to it. If you're big enough, you have bins, and he's hauling your grain 50% of the year instead of 25% of the year or 60% of the year, you know? Do you guys watch that guy up in, I think it's Wisconsin. He's a millennial farmer. I mean, I'm sure you guys do.
I've seen some of his stuff, yeah.
Did you guys see what happened to his bins? Do I need to share that post on your guys' Facebook?
Yes, anytime you see something cool, you need to share it to the Facebook page.
Hey, you guys had Royce plugged me on my one cool thing. I got that pin flip was fucking awesome.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, this is the pin flip guy. Well, he didn't do it, but he shared.
Don't be calling him the pin flip guy.
God, no, I wish. Fuck. But no, I think he had his bins just get fucked up by, I think it was high winds and a hailstorm went through there. I think he's in
Where's
Wisconsin,
he at?
But Wisconsin? I don't know exactly where, but I'm pretty sure Wisconsin. He runs a really big podcast and does like videos on Facebook.
Oh, so he's the competition.
Yeah, way to plug the competition there, Adam.
I'll bleep it out. Don't worry about it.
I'm not plugging the competition. I think he's
His podcast isn't as good as our podcast.
I mean, he doesn't drink in his podcast.
Well, then why does he do it?
I thought everybody up north there drank.
I mean, I'm sure he drinks, but I haven't seen him drink during his podcast. I mean, I don't know. But he mainly does like the Facebook video thing, you know, like the "This Is My Farm."
Yeah. Oh, he's a TikToker.
Not a podcast. No, not TikTok. He does long, like 30-minute videos.
Oh, fuck around.
Like, I hadn't seen those. I've seen the shorter, I think, TikTok videos.
Yeah, I mean, he does smaller ones too. He's got a badass old pickup too. If you guys actually dig in, you guys need to find that thing. He's got an old Scottsdale. It's pretty. I'm a nut for that. It's like an 86 Scottsdale. It's badass. But, I don't know. Bins equal money. Bins and trucks equal money.
Yes, sir. All right. So let's get really off your beaten path. What do you think Cotton's going to do?
God, I have no fucking clue, Roy.
Well, he's a grain guy.
God, I know. Damn it. But what about cottonseed? Can you feed cottonseed to a pig?
No.
Okay.
Kill him. Have you tried to eat cottonseed? You're a monogastric.
Yeah, that don't work, bud.
No, I knew I couldn't.
It's a great thing for cattle.
I knew it was that, but
you know, yeah. But yeah, no, pigs, it doesn't work. So nothing.
What if they got the cottonseed paw out of the cottonseed? Could you then feed it to a pig? And it work as
good? I don't think you can.
Not a nutritionist either.
Damn it.
We got a guy for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I can.
He just buys what he's told. They said no cottonseed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and like they dictate the formula over what I can buy certain things for. So if I can buy corn real cheap, they formulate their feed and, you know, do that. But
okay.
I don't know enough about cotton. Is it a? I mean, you guys have had no rain, and most of your cotton's irrigated, so I assume it's.
Hey, dry land's looking strong right now.
For the moment.
If it doesn't rain in another 2 weeks, maybe not as much. By the time this podcast comes out, bullshit statement.
Yeah, too early to tell. Too early to tell on that, I think.
You were not lying. This dude's bins, his whole farm got fucked right up.
Yes, dude.
Is that a fence post through the cab of a fucking tractor? I just looked it up on my phone. Now I'm showing Royce.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a fucking good one. I mean, damn. I've seen a lot of cool shit. Yeah, I've seen a lot of cool shit. Are you guys in that Facebook group, Grain Market Discussion? There's a lot of funny shit on that. Deal to add. That one, man, it has a lot of grain merchandisers in it, a lot of farmers in it, and they just bitch back and forth. It's a lot of FUs and fuck Cargill and fuck.
Oh, so it's typical Facebook.
You know, yeah. It's not anything. I wouldn't take any substantial advice from it. I don't think, but good humor. I think you guys would like it, nonetheless.
Maybe we need to join that one.
Yeah, it's right up your alley. I can. I mean, there's a lot of funny shit on it, too. A lot of F-ups that get shared on that, and you can go direct to the source of guys get fucked up. Am I supposed to share a fuck-up? Can I share a fuck-up?
If you've got one.
I got one that I never took a picture of, and I listened to the one you guys were talking about. Both y'all had guys that had worked for you that had fucked up in some way. It was the guy that ran up a cattle guard or whatever – And then you guys kind of had a couple stories of guys that have worked for y'all
right. That
have fucked up. And you had the option of yelling at them or walking away. I had one, and I actually had – so my boss at the time, I was in California working on an almond orchard out there.
I thought they were almonds over there.
Because you shake the L out of them whenever they come out of the tree.
That's what I was told.
I stopped saying almond when I left California. It's one of the things I left behind.
Well, you're the only Californian I know that did.
Exactly.
Yeah. And hey, because those guys haven't harvested them. It's a motherfucker. You don't want to do it. Like, it's not something you want to do. So, I learned a lot about tractors and harvesting crews and stuff like that out there and spraying and shit like that. But I don't miss working in almond orchards at all.
I would imagine but, not.
Yeah. So back to my, here's my fuck up. I'm a 21 year old out there working for a guy that's about my age, but his dad, kind of like, I compare it to a Royce and Terry situation. Old man farmed a bunch of acres or decent amount, and son's starting to take it over. Well, he was like, well, I need to hire someone, Dad, if you're stepping away.
So you were the Tyler.
He hires me. Yeah. So I guess.
Because I worked for Terry. I'm in, whenever me and Royce were about the same age.
Didn't know that. But yeah, so I went to junior college with a kid, and I knew him from my agronomy classes.
No, you're sounding about right.
Yeah. No, it's right up your alley. And so he's like, fuck, I don't want to do this all by myself if my dad's going to sit at home. And he didn't just sit at home. He worked a shit ton still. But so I'm driving a manure spreader inside an almond orchard. This is like at post-harvest, everything. Just like a regular, like, I bet it's 12-foot by 4-foot manure spreader, like ground-driven manure spreader inside an orchard, spreading like it was from a dairy, but it's a dairy that had like a methane digester. So it's like kind of dry cow shit. Not dry, but still really soupy, but it's dry dairy shit.
So, okay.
But yeah, they like harvest the methane off the dairy shit to run their dairy, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like a byproduct of that, and they damn near give it away because they produce so much of it. And
that's common.
Yeah, they spread it on these almond orchards post-harvest because it gives it enough time to, like, soak in. And when you put almonds on the ground, it's already, you know, off. It's gone by the time harvest rolls around next year. So, anyway, I'm doing that. And the guy, every day I show up after school, hop on the tractor, and just roll. And I'm just, like, nonstop. This is, like, weeks on end I've been doing it. And they have a tractor and spreader at the dairy, and then one at the farm, and we're going like opposite, you know, he's in the field, I'm in the field, he's in the field, I'm in the field.
Yeah.
Well, I hopped on the one that the dairy had let us borrow one day, and I had been running my boss's equipment majority of the time. And the one time I just happened to be closer to the dairy, so I hopped on that one and just started going. And I've been running half the day probably, and I'm roading this stuff probably like 8 miles. Not like back roading it, nothing on the highway or anything like that, but I'm filling up at the dairy and roading it over to the orchard. Well, I'm running half the day like that, and I don't know what it was. I was in the middle of the orchard spreading, and I have about a half a load still behind me, a cabless tractor, because you're in an orchard, so it's a pretty low profile tractor. And I guess I had like stopped the spreader and then restarted it at about the halfway point to finish out a row, I think. And it came unpinned, but they didn't have a cotter pin in the drop pin. It was too short of a drop pin to have a cotter pin in it.
Well, that's and mistake number one.
Popped a wheelie. Yeah. A whole spreader. And I never looked at that. It was already hooked up when I showed up. So I hop on and go, right?
You know,
I trust whoever hooked it up. I'm the new guy, like newer guy. I've been working there a little bit. Well, I look back and the whole spreader is doing a wheelie. And the only thing that's attached when I looked back was the hydraulic hoses for a second. And that sucker comes down on the back of the seat and the tongue of the newer spreader. Yeah. And I'm like crucified. On the steering wheel, just like sitting there pancaked against it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, full panic mode, obviously, like, sets in. I was able to like squeeze out from in between. It didn't do anything to me, like completely unscathed.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there looking at the manure spreader, like three quarters of the way on the back of the tractor. Like, oh fuck. Like, my job's gone. I'm fired. Like, that's all I can say. Like, you know, I'm done. And, it took, like, I would say I didn't even call anybody. I was still, like, running around the orchard looking at what the fuck happened for about, like, you guys said the timeline. What is it, like, the first 5 minutes you're wondering how I'm going to fix this? If I could pull out from underneath the, you know, can I do that? And I'm like, fuck no, I can't. Like, this thing's done. Like, I can't do that. And by then, my boss, which is, like, my age, shows up and makes it out to the middle of the orchard where he sees me like this thing piled up, and he's like, oh fuck. And he goes into panic mode because he just took over this business. He's the one that's going to take the real wrath because it's his dad. Like, it's his dad's tractor, or it was last year, you know. Like, and we're like, oh my god. Well, he finally, like, he's a lot calmer than me. He calls his dad. His dad gets out there, and his dad's a super nice guy. If it was his son, probably would have chewed his ass till it wasn't there. Since it was me, it was like, are you all right? Like, he went full dad mode on me and was like, are you all right? Like, making sure I was alive. And I'm like, I'm fine. And he goes, okay. And looks at his son. He's like, find a way to get that off. And he's like, so I just, like, hop in his truck. We leave, go back to the house. And, you know, I sit down and I have lunch. And he's like, you want to just go home today? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And it was super cool. And just sent me home, came back, and they had it all fucking cleaned up. And we're like, he goes, the next day I come back to work. It wasn't the next day, but I came back to work a couple days later. And first thing his dad says to me is like, So it wasn't your fault because you didn't hitch that manure spreader up, but you know what to look at and look for next time, right? And I was like, yep. And the pin had fallen back in the receiver, actually, which is weird. That's how we knew it was not my fault. The pin actually never even came fully out of the hitch. It fell back in the hole.
Oh, shit.
That is...
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is short.
Yeah.
That's, like, too short.
It just got up. Yeah. It was just way too short. It just got up enough to where the tongue could peel out, and then it fell back when I, like, stopped, you know, when I got on the brakes, which in hindsight, it's always 20/20. I should have fucking gunned it because when I put on the brakes is why I fucking got landed on. Like,
it's just like, you know, the guy that landed on, or that ended up on top of the cattle guard. He probably freaked out. Hit the wrong pedal.
Yeah. I hit the...
Way to bring it back home.
Like, No. I would like to compare it to Royce's guy where, like, I stopped at the right time, but it was actually like I should have gunned it at the right time, where his, like, wheel came off or whatever it was. And, like, I consider it kind of like that, but it's... No, I fucked up.
Yeah, you're trying to save the hydraulic hoses. You about got crucified.
Yeah.
Well, thank God you did.
Or impaled. However you want to put that.
Yeah. I would have had a broken back, probably. I think that... I guess those expensive ass yellow seats are actually, you know, worth a back at least.
Apparently.
I think it saved my life. Maybe? ? I really wish I could go look at that tractor again. But.
All right. Well, Adam, anything you want to add on what's going on with the commodity market before we let you go?
What do you guys think? Are you the, like, never-ending... in my terms, I call it a bull or a bear. Are you a farmer that's a bull? You guys think it's going up? I mean, just briefly, you don't have to tell me really why, but up, down, side to side, what do you, on just, you know, corn, wheat, Milo, I guess.
I think that we will be sideways until start of harvest, August-ish.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. We might get a USDA deal that might fuck us.
Dude, that's a guess of a fucking guess.
Exactly.
Don't think I'm going to back them up. I don't put any weight in that. Look at you. There's enough news out there. Form your own opinion, because the USDA, I mean, they can only tell you so much, personally. I don't know. I think it's a good market mover sometimes, but other times I think it's flat bullshit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think more geopolitical. Some kind of that's what we call it, some political bullshit in a country.
You think monkeypox is going to push this deal to the moon, as the crypto folks say?
No, I don't fucking know. I don't think it can go to the moon. Like I said, high prices, your high prices.
We've got to be at the highs, don't we?
I think so.
I said that about fertilizer in December, and turns out I was fucking wrong. Yeah. But
I would say on the fertilizer price, if fertilizer keeps going up, grains.
Which fertilizer has kind of softened? I mean, like urea for sure has softened lately.
And I think that was more of a supply chain issue than a supply issue like they made it seem.
I think personally, you saw a domestic supply issue with a very heavy supply chain issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's pretty plain, but now I think some of that's getting solved.
Maybe some of the supply chain type issues, but I think the supply is probably
kind of... It could be. I think that's getting better, but I don't know. I read an article the other day that said that it's most of it's available, just how much you want to pay.
Yeah. Which somehow doesn't help a lot of people.
No.
If I know fertilizer companies... They are making fertilizer like a son of a bitch now because of the prices.
Because they're making fucking money.
The supply will be back, but I don't know how quickly.
And high prices cure high prices. Somehow, some way, something new is going to come out that makes it easier or something more efficient to do that. And they're going to oversupply it somehow. Maybe. It may take a while. That could be a 5-year, 10-year thing. But... I think that issue is long-term.
We can hope. Because if fertilizer prices stay as high as they are and grain prices go down, that's going to make a whole nother conundrum that...
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be a whole nother fuckery.
I can tell you, all of my customers...
If you keep the dipshit in keeping diesel prices as high as they are or higher, then... here's a funny one. I got a random question. If I went to Lake Tahoe, went trout fishing a couple weeks ago. Lake Tahoe's in California, up in the mountains. Diesel boat. I just happened to ask him, what does diesel cost on the water? Because it stays on the water year round. What's your guys' guess?
For diesel on the water?
Diesel on the water.
Can you tell me California's average price?
I can't, honestly. I can't.
I would say it's
probably north of $6, like in the $6.50 range, probably.
So I would probably say about $8.59.
Yeah,
it was $10 a gallon.
Okay,
they're gouging you there.
And I base my guess on normally, like if I buy gas at the lake, like you always fill the boat up before you get to the lake, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Gas at Lake Ute is, you know, like at the gas station in Logan, let's say it's $3 on the lake, it's going to be about $5.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was crazy, but, I mean, we didn't really go very far and burn a lot of diesel in my eyes, but I don't know. That was a big, pretty big boat, too. So, I bet it's good. You know, $400 fill up, you know, I don't know.
$400, that's a fucking pickup anymore.
Getting pretty goddamn close.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. But, yeah, guys, I don't know. You got anything else for me?
I don't know how long we've been doing this. Hour? That's a pretty good one.
Hour 5. We're not obscene yet.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got anybody fired yet, so we're probably doing
okay. I haven't cracked enough tops yet, so...
How many tops have you cracked?
Hold up. Let's do an over-under. Royce said it. I'll say 3, over-under.
God, that's what I was going to say.
Well, yeah, but over-under.
Say under.
How many?
No, it's over, guys. Come on. Mama didn't raise no bitch.
I mean, I just set the number at 3. Royce is the one that's calling you a bitch.
It was 4. It was 4. You guys were close.
So just barely.
So, I mean, technically, you're right, because he only really drank 2 beers.
beer and a half.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultra.
Yeah. Hey, but I haven't pissed once yet.
Yeah, because so. You've drank like.
Well, that's a lot of water. Water. That's quite a bit of water.
That's a lot of water.
Let's see, you drink 48 ounces of water over an hour and not have to pee.
Yeah. It just hadn't hit him yet. Taking a little time. I mean, when he gets off, he's
like a fire hose.
It's power
water
hour.
The
it's
garden.
Power hour, bud. No, I'm behind. There's not, these guys all just got unsaddled, so I'm fixing to get after it. So.
Well, hey, before we let you off of there, you want to play a little game with us?
Yeah.
Hell whiskey yeah. Trivia.
Oh fuck! Not much of a whiskey drinker. Is that a criteria? Am I going to get axed before this thing plays? But my wife is a big whiskey drinker, and so I know a lot about it. I just get really bad heartburn.
So,
I'm an old man,
here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip that one because that one's going to be a little tricky. Give you a little bit of softball here. Which country is the third largest whiskey producer in the world?
Canada.
Incorrect. It was Japan.
Damn.
Okay, I believe it.
I wouldn't have guessed Japan.
I wouldn't have guessed
Japanese
Japan
whiskeys aren't
third.
That big over here, but they are somewhere.
They make a lot. They make a lot, actually. I believe it.
I knew they were coming up.
Do you know where Canada sits? Do you have a list by any chance?
No.
It was just a question. A yes or no.
Yeah.
Quick hitter. One hit.
But I think Canada is probably, I mean, for sure in the top five.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think so. My wife's a big Pendleton drinker. Yeah. Just regular Pendleton. Not Pendleton Rye, just regular Pendleton.
We've heard that before.
She makes Pendleton hot toddies and old fashioned. That's it. So.
Well, those are good cocktails to make.
Yeah. I mean, that's typical. That's.
I mean, if you're going to make it in a cocktail.
Yeah. That's 95% of how she drinks it, old fashioned or.
Well, tell her to man up, start drinking it straight.
Dude, that's just expensive. Yeah, I'm good.
Fair point. But, need to cut it.
Yeah, I'm a big Shinerbach guy. I like beer. So, beer and White Claw. I'm not too bitch to say it.
Damn.
Okay.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
In yourself.
Comfortable with it. Completely.
Well, that's fair enough.
So anyhow, but yeah. Well, okay. What do you got for me? What you got another question? Is that one and done?
No, yeah,
one and done.
Okay, all right, guys. Well, I've had fun.
Well, we really appreciate you being on here.
Yeah,
I feel like this has been pretty informative.
Yeah,
In multiple subjects.
It has been.
Like I said, I want to do the next one where I could be in. You guys call it the crow's nest, or
right?
I want to get to. I'll hammer. I can drink some bourbon or whiskey. We can do something with it.
Well, I'd hate for you to get some, a little tummy trouble, get that heartburn.
Oh, I could take a little pill before that, you know. They make shit for that. No.
Well, you just hit me up next time you're coming through.
You guys need to post maybe on your Facebook what the inside of the crow's nest looks like. Have I missed it? Have I not scrolled far enough back, maybe?
No, you pretty much have to see that on Snapchat.
Is it anything worth seeing? Or okay.
I mean, it's.
I'll have Roy send you pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got Snapchat?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We'll add Royce on Snapchat and he'll send you some pictures.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
You normally get a Snapchat whenever we record every episode.
I don't have one of those bots like you guys were talking about. Don't worry, I'm not going to send you nudies or anything like that. So.
Well, that's good. If you do, you're not getting invited.
Oh, shit. Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to get after it. Good talking to you. Good luck, sir. This year.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you.
Be safe.
See you later, bud.
So that was Adam.
Adam Escobar. Thanks for being on, bud. Thanks for being a listener.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. I think that was a good one.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Great times. Are you ready for your question?
I am.
I'm going to give you the one he was supposed to get.
Okay.
Whose whiskey Bible is considered the world's leading whiskey guide?
Have we not had that one before?
Are we already back through the deck?
I think we've had that one before.
I don't think so. Well, if we've had it before, fucking answer it.
I don't remember.
It's Jim Murray's. He is a leading whiskey expert who has been writing his annual Bible since 2003.
Pretty sure that was on the last one, but we'll go ahead and go with another one. I'm just guessing it didn't get cycled, but
I pulled one off the top.
Where would you find the Hotel Skansen, which holds the Guinness World Record for the most varieties of whiskey commercially available?
We're looking for a city or a country?
Country.
The Hotel Skansen? Skansen. Spell that.
S-K-A-N-S-E-N.
I'm going to go Europe. I mean, not Europe. UK. England.
Close. You were right with Europe. You were wrong when you specified.
I just kind of fucked that up. That's my bad. So was it like Ireland?
Sweden.
Sweden. Fuck, that probably should have been the best answer there. Europe.
Close.
Europe. We're sticking with your final answer.
We're going with Europe because that is a country. I mean, it damn near is anymore.
Have you never heard of the European Union?
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm trying to give you props, bud.
I don't even know if Sweden's in the EU.
I don't either. Most of Europe is. But it's hard to say with Sweden.
Well, here we are. Another fun-filled episode.
Guys, we appreciate you listening.
Check out our sponsors.
If you want to be a sponsor yourself, hit us up.
We work cheap.
Doesn't take much.
So, yeah, y'all have a great week. Enjoy yourselves.
Thanks for listening. Have a good evening.
Try to learn something new.
Thanks.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke arising, darkening the day. 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way.
We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Oh, oh. Cows with guns.